Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Goddesses podcast. I'm your host, Monique Hom, and I am super excited to have with me today Peely Irusi, who is awesome. On this show, on this show, I interview badass real estate investor goddesses, women that are crushing it in real estate. And of course, Peely is no exception. It's her birth name is Peely Aloha Irusi, but goes by Peely. She's originally from Hawaii and has also lived in California and New York and now lives in snowy New Jersey. After working in the arts, managing restaurants, running bars, and owning a berry farm, 6 years ago, she decided to dive into real estate. And she got her real estate license and has not stopped since. She does multifamily and flipping, and her passion is taking old, rundown, flooded, moldy, fire-ravaged, termite-eaten, overgrown, underappreciated homes, hashtag all of it, messy, and turning them into homes that deserve a good family. She finds the worst homes and gives them a heart again. I love it. So she and her husband, Jason, have three lovely children, Luke, Lily, and Leo, and two fur babies. Two English bulldogs, Jack and Jill. And she's taken time away from this big brood to come and talk to us. So welcome, Peely.
So, so grateful to be on your show, Monica. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's Monique, but I get Monica a lot because
oh my goodness,
spelled weird. But I'm happy to have you here. So you started, said back in 2013 in your real estate. What made you get started in real estate investing?
What made me get started? Well, I got pregnant. Let's back up a little bit. So I was
that's not what usually why people start.
So yeah. I was in the bar industry with my husband, and we've known each other for 15, 16 years now, but we've only been married and together for about six of those 16 years. So we were in the bar industry together, and we decided one October that we were going to get pregnant. So I got pregnant and I was like, I can't really do the bartending thing while being pregnant. So we moved to New Jersey, sort of kind of figured out what we're going to do. He started getting into his family's construction company. And I could be here all day talking about that. His family's construction company is fantastic. We actually lift homes. We take them off their foundations, lift them and give them a new foundation, a new path in life, if you can call it that. So we have the family's construction business. I am currently unemployed and pregnant, and Jason is kind of switching into the family business. So it just made sense. Jason and his father sat me down and we started talking about real estate, and we thought, well, wouldn't it be great if you got your real estate license? We started branching out into flipping homes and doing properties and, lifting homes and adding square footage to homes for ourselves. So how we started was our big idea was, why don't we take these flood ravaged homes, lift them up again. So we're putting in a second story, like a new first story and a garage underneath that, thereby adding value to the house. And I don't know how many flippers you talk to, but when most flippers talk about flipping their first homes, they're like, I'm going to put some carpet and paint into this house and put it back on.
I know. When we flipped, we redid some bathrooms and kitchens. We did not just lift the house and add a story underneath it.
So that's how we started. I mean, we started by really just kind of going big.
Wow. That's amazing. So, you had the construction piece of the pie already, and then you got into doing these single families and flipping them.
Yeah.
Now I know that now you're doing multifamily. So how did you get into that?
So we were really systematizing and growing our flipping business, and as we were doing that, one of our early mentors called me up and said, I have a couple of properties in Indiana that I'm trying to get rid of. I have a duplex. Do you guys want to run the numbers with me and see if that's something you'd be interested in? And so we ran the numbers and they made sense, but we were like, okay, so he was a turnkey operator. So we were like, oh, let's do something different. we'll purchase the property through you. You can put in whatever fee you want. So you can be the wholesaler. We'll purchase the property. We'll pay you to do all the renovations, and your management company can take care of it. And we'll just hold the property. And so we did. And that property, we ended up buying two duplexes. They averaged about 22% ROI. And they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. We held them for a year and then sold them back to the person we bought them from at the same profit. And so the reason why we let those go was because this opened up a whole new world of awesomeness in Jason's eyes. For me, I was just like, okay, this is cool. We'll get a couple of duplexes, start getting some cash flow in. We can start kind of putting stuff away. And Jason's like, no. What if we do 100-unit apartment building? And I'm just like, oh, okay, I need to process things a little bit more. And Jason's like all about jumping in. Yeah. So he jumped into that. We were systematizing our flip business. So as we were systematizing our flip business, we started growing this multifamily business, and we put our first 94-unit, we closed on that in the end of 2016. Okay. And now we are up to 428 units.
Awesome. So where are your apartment buildings or your complexes?
All in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay. So you're in New Jersey. What made you go to Kentucky?
It made more sense. Just by the economies of scale, just the numbers, it just made more sense. Like in New Jersey, our buy numbers for our flips are anywhere from, 150 to about 350. Mm-hmm. That's just like one single family home.
Yeah.
Whereas our first, you can purchase an entire building in Kentucky for, upwards of, I think it was 24,000 a unit. Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
Just the price differences are astronomical. And back to our flip business, that was our main stream. That was what we were focusing on. But multifamily is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. I'm into multifamily, so I get it. And I also don't invest where I live because I live in Los Angeles. It's super expensive. But did you have a team in Kentucky and Louisville? Is that...
That's the thing with Jason and I. We're very hands-on people. It's probably the reason why it's taking us longer to systematize and grow our flip business than it is our multifamily business. Because with multifamily, you have to trust and build out your team.
Yes.
Build it out correctly. Because especially if you're going out of state, you have to focus on your team and make sure that team is solid. Whereas if you're in New Jersey, for us, it's like, okay, we're just going to pick up the hammer and do it ourselves. Whereas we can't go to Kentucky and fix somebody's toilet.
Right.
So,
and aren't you glad you can't?
Exactly.
Better when you don't have to.
Whereas here in our flips, they're like, oh, well, there's a hole in the wall here, so I'm just going to go patch it up. I'm like, no, you don't do that. Put the hammer down. So that's it's a big focus on team when it came to building out our multifamily empire, if you want to call it.
Yeah. Awesome. That's awesome. So switching gears a little bit, because you did mention being pregnant when you started in the business, and now you have three kids.
Yeah.
So what do you think about real estate investing for mothers? I know, most of the times I've seen you, I've been talking to you, have a baby on the boob, literally. Yes. Speaking on the phone.
I almost joined this podcast with my son. I was like, that's going to be a little awkward, but hey, I can make it happen. Real estate investing for mothers, the biggest thing I tell, well, this is really for anybody, but it's just give yourselves grace. Give yourselves the ability, you are growing a child, or even if you already have children, give yourself grace, because your children are your main focus, no matter what. And yeah. make sure you build a circle of people that honor you and honor what you're trying to do and honor your family and honor and just have the same mindset. I mean, it's true what they say, you are the six people you hang out with. So mm-hmm. hang out with the best. people that know you and know your heart and know you're trying to do the best thing for your family. So when I started, I was in my first trimester, and I went to real estate school. Thank goodness I had a teacher that let me sleep. Because I wouldn't be here where I am today if it wasn't for that first guy who was like, you know what, you're pregnant, like, take care of yourself. So I'm like snacking in class. I did really well on the exam, got it done, and started my career that way. And since then, and we started back in 2013. We had our first son in 2014, our daughter in 2016, and our 7-month-old was born in July of 2018. So I've been basically pregnant throughout our whole real estate journey, and it's been a ride. I will say, like, growing a family and growing a business at the same time, it's like having this fourth child. all my businesses are other children.
Yeah,
it's been
they're very needy children.
yes.
But it is nice as a mother, I think, because of that flexibility you have when you're an investor. I mean, it's definitely not necessary. I mean, depending on how you do it, there's work to be done, right? When you're building a business and you're scaling it, then it's work. You're not sitting on the couch eating bonbons all day. But
what you said is true. Like, I take so many of my business meetings. In fact, I took 3 yesterday. Each of those business meetings, I was breastfeeding my child.
Yeah.
One of the business meetings was like with a room full of gentlemen on the video call, and I was just like, I'm just not going to show my video. I'm just not. You're going to hear my voice for this call. And you make it happen. As mothers, yeah, we make it happen. We make it happen for our children. We make it happen for our businesses. I mean, I give kudos to all the mothers out there and all the ladies out there who are looking to be mothers. And even if you don't want to be mothers, it's just having that mindset that as a woman, whether or not you're a mother, you can do this.
Yes.
No matter what. You're a goddess.
Yes. Hashtag, you're a goddess. You can do this.
Hashtag, you're a goddess. also, and this is for everyone out there, not only mothers, not only women, get rid of the things, give away the things you don't want to do. So for instance, we were just talking about this. You have your house cleaning lady, like someplace in your office vacuuming, and you told her not to vacuum. So ladies, I know you think you can do it all. Have someone else vacuum your house. Please, please. If you can afford that extra, you know, $100 to $150, get somebody else to do it. You will be surprised how much time you free up. Like, yeah, all of a sudden, like, I had all this time either to spend with my kids or to work on my business, because your time is valuable. Your time is worth that extra whatever an hour for somebody else to come and do those things that you should not be doing yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were talking before we started the recording about how, right, you know, pay $120 a week or something for my cleaning lady to come in, and that is the best money I've spent. Like, hands down, it is worth exponentially more to me than not having to clean the toilets and vacuum and laundry and all that stuff. She just adds so many hours to my life, and you know, and I get to do the things that I love doing versus, you know,
don't clean. Feel bad that you're not cleaning your own house.
Oh, I know. No bad feelings at all. I'm so excited. What
am I supposed to do? I'm like, no, stop thinking that. You're supposed to be taking care of your family.
And yeah.
Take care of your family is get rid of those things that you don't need to do. And that goes for your business too. If you're not good at, like, at organization, if you're not good at picking up the phone and calling people, get somebody else to do it. Hire out, leverage people. The same thing in life, same thing in business. Leverage people. Leverage good people.
Yeah.
People.
Who are good at that thing and like it.
Yes.
So, you know, there are people that technically it's like really great at what she does. She seems to enjoy it. So I'm happy for her and for me. So, and then like on the other side, so we're talking about mothering, but you also work with your husband, Jason. And so my question for you is, and I too, where I work with my husband, what do you think makes for a successful partnership with your significant other?
Well, that's the word. It's partnership. It's communication. Like no matter what in business, in life, your love life, every single part of your life, you need to communicate. You need to communicate on a regular basis. So Jason and I try to have date nights every week. We try to have alone time with ourselves. And as I'm saying this, I'm like, wow, I need to get on those date nights again. Since we had our third child, they're sort of been slowing down.
Yeah.
Make that time. You need to make each other. If you work with your significant other, make them significant in your life. I'm a huge, huge proponent of time blocking and the one thing.
Yes. Love the one thing.
That.
Yeah.
First thing when I do my schedule, especially at the beginning of the year, I'm like, I put in all the personal time, all the kid time, all like, this is Jason's time, this is date night. Like all that goes in first. So if you're working with your husband, you need to put your personal life with him first before business. Business can be a very close second because you guys are partners, but you need to put your love for each other and your faithfulness together and the reason why you actually decided to partner up and be business partners. I mean, you could have been a business partner with anybody else, but you guys chose each other. And this is key, and this might be hard to say. If it's not working out, acknowledge that you have not failed. You tried. And then talk about it. See what you need to do. Work it out. And then move forward. But if it is working out, then continue to move forward. Continue to give yourselves grace. And continue to work together. The great thing about Jason and I is that we met working. We bartended. For a season, I was his manager, and then we flipped, and he became the manager. And it's like this whole hodgepodge of like bartending bliss. But so we've always worked together. So like getting into business together in real estate, just it was like a no-brainer. But we were always communicating. We always have each other's back, no matter what. Like always have that support system. He's my support system. I'm his support system, and we're always there for each other, no matter if it's something to do with our children, something to do with our businesses, and we're really good at delegating things to each other. So, for instance, I am mostly in the single family flip realm. He is mostly in the multifamily realm, but we jump into each other's realms all the time to give each other support. But we know if, you know, stuff ever hit the fan, I would go family first, and then he would take care of business. Family is always first, of course, but then we know if somebody needs to go pick up the kids, I'll go do that. And you go take this business meeting that I don't need to be at. So, no. Like, really know what each other's strengths are and just, you know, lead with your heart. I don't know. It just works.
Yeah. So good. I love that. And it's true.
Kind of long-winded.
No, that's good. It's good stuff. You know, I work with my husband. We have this amazing partnership together, and that's a lot of what you're talking about. We each have our own roles. We have distinct roles that we handle, though we can, you know, we definitely consult each other and support one another as needed, but we have our own lane, you know, usually. And you do have to put the relationship first. You do have to put your family first. You have to put each other first. You have to put love first.
Yes.
And then the business is second. But knowing that having your partner, the person that you like, having somebody you trust so much, right, as your partner, who you love and know that they will have, they have your best interests at heart because your interests are so aligned is, it's special. It's amazing. So
everybody, like I usually get asked, what's the best like business decision I've ever had? And I always say Jason. It's true. He's the best business decision I've ever made. best like decision I've ever made for my heart. It's like a partnership. And again, going back to the people that you surround yourself with, I mean, your husband, your significant other, your wife, your partner, they are the most important person in your life. I mean, yes, you have your children, but you decided to start this, you know, whether it's your business, your life, your partnership, your everything. So acknowledge that, honor it, and lead with that.
Beautiful. Love it. So good. So good. All right. So my next question is a question that I always ask every guest, because I think that we learn so much more from what doesn't work out, our mistakes, than we do from, you know, the smooth sailing times. So what would you say was your biggest mistake, and what did you learn from it?
Biggest mistake right now is actually on the market. This is supposed to be a test flip in this market, and the market that we were testing this in is actually the market we live in. It's a town we live in. We love living here. And we're like, well, why don't we start trying to flip homes here? So we found a home, and the numbers worked as long as everything kind of went to plan. But I looked back at the numbers and they worked. They were there. They were spot on. But with this flip came a series of mistakes that we weren't prepared for. So this flip has taken us about 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. This is like now I would never do this house. Now I would just be like, yeah, no, don't, not in this town, not that house, not going to do it.
So why not? So break it down for our audiences. Like what specific did you learn? What was wrong with the town? What was wrong with that house that you wouldn't?
The town was a little more difficult to work with. They were more stringent on their policies, and this was our first home that we were doing in this particular town, even though our construction company has been, you know, doing business for, you know, 40 to 50 years, depending on when you ask my father-in-law.
So it's a zoning issue?
There were zoning issues. We had to get variances. There were things that, you know, the building department told us that we could do when we first went in there, but we didn't have writing. So when we went back, they were like, oh no, you have to do this thing and the other thing. So it took us, I don't know, 9 months, almost a year to get out of zoning. Yeah. And then on top of that, there were just construction issues, and we're a working construction company. So we had the time divvied out for the project when it was on our timeline, but then it started getting behind and behind and behind. And our construction company has all these other projects we have to work on. So it was sort of like put in whenever it could be worked on. Yeah, so let's go back. Because of all those mistakes and issues, the purchase price was too much. We bought it for too much. But I hadn't known that we were going to run into like this time, because it should have only taken us 9 months to flip this house. It should have taken us 9 months to flip this house. I knew it was going to take us a while. It was pretty much a new build. We were popping up the top. We were originally going to lift it, but we couldn't do that in the town. So we're going to pop at the top, build a new house. But even with that, the numbers still worked. But then the time factor made the purchase price just astronomically too hot.
That was the first thing. Yeah.
So yes, time is money. When you do your numbers, and this is for all your listeners out there, make sure you know the town you're working in. And if not, ask around and make sure that you know like the type of build you're doing and how long it's taking other builders to do it. I wish I had known that. This is like when we were first kind of just like exploring and trying to get into new other things, and we shouldn't have. So purchase price, big no-no, bought it too high. The town was hard to work with. We were trying to build the entire thing basically ourselves without having the time to do it. And then now it's winter and I have it on market. Yeah. We had it on market in November. I actually had it under contract, and the buyers decided to walk away. And because we're coming up on, you know, it's been 2 years, we've refinanced it. We have other financiers on this project and it's coming up on time. So we have to sell this project. So, I mean, we still have plentiful time, but it's still, you know, having to put it back on market. I couldn't go after the buyers for the deposit because we needed to get it back on market. So they knew they had us there. I don't know why they decided to walk away, but they did. Unfortunately, it happens. So I have it back on market. And, you know, if anybody out there wants to buy a house in New Jersey, call me.
Like a brand new home.
A house. It's a brand new home. I might move into it if I have to. I'll leave my husband and the kids at the other house. I'll make this my really big she shed. I mean, with this house, I feel like we made every single mistake. And this is after, like, we flipped a ton of homes where it's gone smoothly. We've made a ton of money. But there's just this one we just had for 2 years. And I've talked to other flippers, and they're like, everybody has that one. And this is probably going to be the first one that we may lose money on. Let's knock on wood someplace. But we haven't lost money yet.
Yeah. Hopefully you won't lose money.
I'm so happy I got that off my chest.
You know, yeah, that's the thing about real estate investing. There will be mistakes. It's not a if, but when. Yeah, when you have one of those, right, then that are really tough. We had an apartment building. Wow. Has that been like, wow, was it horrible? But we closed on it yesterday. We sold it.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm like, yes. Oh my gosh.
It's like giving me gray hairs and I've lost 10 years of my life. Yeah, dealing with poverty, but
gray hairs coming back after you.
But how much have I learned? So much. How much did you learn?
Exactly. Right. The price tag on learning is worth it. It's worth
it. Yeah. You do learn a lot from those challenges. Let's just say.
Challenges. Call it what they are. They're failures.
Not a failure. This was not a failure. We sold it. We made money.
There you go.
Earned a lot. But yeah, so I wouldn't call it a failure, but boy, was it.
There was a lesson learned.
Boy, were there lessons. Let's just say that.
Yep. Many, many, many lessons.
So there you go. And how about, so the flip side, what are you most proud of?
What am I most proud of? I'm actually most proud of the first multifamily property that we put under contract and we closed on. That was a huge undertaking. And I'm going to be honest, this is mostly my husband, because I was still in the mindset of, I don't know if we can do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on like our family and the flipping and the things that I know and I can touch. Whereas, you know, and I'm the one that brought those two duplexes to Jason. I was like, this is going to work. We can do this out of state. But then all of a sudden, like, he puts on like a 94 unit, and all of a sudden I'm just like, oh, let me watch for a little bit. So once he closed on that and it started really moving, I was just like, okay, the proof is in the pudding. Like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Family makes sense. It's like, it's the next step up. I've talked to dozens of flippers. I just had a conversation yesterday and they're just like, we're ready for the next step. And I was like, well, this is the next step. This is who you need to talk to.
Yeah.
You can call Jason whenever you want. And this goes for any of your listeners out there. You guys will have my information at the end of this podcast. You know, just for anybody that's just starting, get over. And if you have the same mindset that I did at the beginning, just kind of work through it, get over it, because multifamily is where you need to be.
It's not harder to go bigger.
No.
A lot of people think that, right? You have to start small.
In many ways, it's actually easier.
Yes, in many ways, it is easier. So, but we have that, you know, when people play Monopoly and you learn, first you need the little greenhouse, then you get the other little greenhouse, then you get the little greenhouse. And then after you have enough greenhouses, then you can do, you know, the red hotel. But it doesn't work. It doesn't need to work that way.
You can,
and red hotels are often easier.
Yeah, and so in this game that we like to play, you just go and pick out the red hotels and you just put it in the spot.
Yes. That's how I play, but I had to learn that too. So to what do you attribute your success?
Really to the partnership I have with Jason, with his family, my family, of course, but really the partnership that Jason and I have. I mean, without him, like, without our partnership, we would not be successful because he completes me in ways that I didn't know needed to be completed, especially to move forward in this arena. It's not something that, like, even this conversation that we're having right now, I wouldn't have dreamt of being here with the knowledge that I have today had it not been for Jason. Just like giving myself permission to really, like, really excel and really, like, know this amazing world of real estate that we've gotten into and gotten into together. So really, I attribute it mostly to Jason.
The partnership. Beautiful.
Our partnership.
And what advice do you have for a woman who's just starting out in this field?
Know that you can do it. Give yourself permission to excel. I think a lot of times, and I do this to myself, I don't give myself permission. I don't give myself the permission to succeed.
Yeah.
We always, like, we talked about failures and they're almost a necessity. But giving yourself the permission to succeed is key. Like, allowing yourself that ability to take the next step and then the next step and then the next step. And then 6 years later, you're going to find out you're going to be in this place where you have 428 units and a multitude of real estate experience behind your back. And you're starting to teach other people how to do it. When I first started, I was pregnant in, like, some dinky office learning real estate out of this huge book that I basically threw away or used it as a doorstop after. And then today, I get to be on this amazing podcast. So it works as long as you give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to succeed.
Awesome. Love that. And what do you wish you'd known at the beginning that you now know?
Everything.
Maybe pick one.
pick one. Honestly, I wish I'd known just what I just said, just to give yourself the permission. Because I said this earlier in the podcast, I take a little bit longer to change and to adjust. And that's just the mindset difficulties that I have. So if you have that same mindset difficulty, or if you don't believe in yourself, then get rid of that mindset. So I wish I had known that in the beginning, that I can't do this, that this is where I need to be, this is where my family needs to be, and this is the best thing for my family. I wish I'd known that at the beginning. And not to buy that property that I was talking about.
But you got all that learning.
Yes. Also, learn from other people's mistakes.
Yes. So that's why I always ask that question. So you listening out there won't do that.
No. So actually learn from people's mistakes.
Yeah.
Find mentors, find people that are out there, find podcasts. Don't just listen and, like, be like, oh, that was a really cool podcast. Listen and implement.
Yeah.
Time a deal comes across your desk, whether it's multifamily or single family or anything in between, make sure the numbers work. Like, try it at different scenarios. Best case, worst case, in all cases. Make sure those numbers work.
Great advice. So before we get into our famed end of show trinity, which is a brag, a gratitude, and a desire, how can people find out more about you?
Easy peasy. You can find me at Peely at YerusiHoldings.com. You can look me up on YerusiHoldings.com. Or if you can't remember my name for some reason, you can just go info@YerusiHoldings.com. I'm usually really good at email. I'll get back to you and let's start a conversation.
All right. So it's time for the Trinity. And it's a brag, a gratitude, and a desire. So what is your brag?
My brag is that I have the best family and the best husband in the world. I really have the best partnership that anybody could ever dream of. The synergy that we have is so amazing that I just want to brag about it.
Well, brag.
Jason, if you're listening to this.
Well, brag. And what are you grateful for?
I am grateful. I'm really grateful for my children. They have shown me how to really be grateful. They have shown me what grace really looks like giving myself grace for those moments that I thought, you know, we all do it as mothers, as people. Like, sometimes we're not the best versions of ourselves. And when we're not the best versions of ourselves in front of our children, it's the worst possible feeling. So they have given me permission. I'm grateful for this, to be the best mother. I've learned so much.
And last but not least, what's one thing you desire?
I'm going to go with something standard here, financial freedom. We're not at that point yet. I'm going to be honest about that with all your listeners out there. I mean, I'm from Hawaii. I go home at least 2 times a year. So, you know, a lot of people would think, yeah, you're financially free if you can do that. No, I budget that. That's in my budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not financially free because I still have to, you know, there's still things that I want to get in life, and that's one of the biggest things, is to be financially free, not to have to worry about, okay, I'm going to go to Hawaii, but then am I going to come back and my business is a challenge. So I want to be able to take that breath and be like, okay, everything is being handled, and I can go to Hawaii, or I can spend all this time with my children, not have to worry about this property or that property, or really, you know, anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll still be worrying, but yeah, my bank account won't be.
Money's coming in even when you're on vacation and exactly. Sleeping and doing other stuff.
That's yeah. Where we all want to be. If you're listening to this, I am sure you want to be there too. And we are right there. We're reaching for it. It's there. It's in our grasp. We just have to give ourselves permission to just grab it and hold on to it.
So shall your desire be, or so much better than you can imagine.
Thank you.
And yeah, my mission is to help 1 million women find financial freedom through real estate. So
awesome. I'm going to get on a call with you just to make sure I'm doing everything I can.
Yes.
To yes. Get that financial freedom, and I'll be one of your 1 million.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. So thank you so much, Pili. That was awesome. For you listening, you want to connect with her, go to Pili, P-I-L-I, at yarusiholdings.com. You can connect with me at reigoddesses.com. And if you want to be partnering with your husband and your significant other in real estate, I'm actually having an event with my hubby in Belize in July called Real Estate Soulmates. It's going to be small. It's only for 30 couples, but I'd love for you to be there. And you can find out more about it by going, the easiest way is tinyurl.com/RESoulmates, or you can go to realestateinvestorgoddesses.com under events, and you'll find out information about that. So hope to see you there. And catch us next time for another amazing real estate investor goddess interview. Bye-bye.